Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Well, there's a lot of new faces across the street at Winthrop University. We ran into this one a couple of weeks ago someplace. I can't remember where it was. And I said, what do you do? I work at Winthrop. And what do you do? I'm the VP of University Advancement. I said, I don't know what that is. How about coming on the show? And he said, okay, I'd love to do that. Is that about right, Kevin?
That sounds about right, Manning.
His name is Kevin Hughes. Welcome to Rock Hill, South Carolina, which, by the way, is where the world begins and ends, right here. Boom. Just thought you'd like to know that. Tell us a little bit about your background.
You bet. Thanks so much, Manning, for having me on today. So most recently, I came from St. Petersburg, Florida, was working in a very similar role for a small public liberal arts institution called New College of Florida. Prior to that, I spent about 5.5 years at Stetson Law School in St. Petersburg as well. And so really what I've been doing for the past 16, 17 years of my career is working in higher ed advancement. And so to your point earlier, what is advancement exactly? Really the easiest way to explain that is in my role, I help oversee the fundraising for the university as well as alumni relations. So it's a very much externally focused role in which we are interacting with and connecting with alumni of the institution, but also at a place like Winthrop, our local supporters as well. So we obviously, as you may know, have a lot of supporters here in the local York County area, as well as even throughout the Charlotte region, who support Winthrop and much of what it is that we're doing there. So it's a little bit of working with those individuals, but also connecting with our alumni, engaging our alumni to help our students, everything from, you know, providing internship and job opportunities for our students, coming back to campus to speak. And we also work with those alumni to secure their financial support of the institution as well.
And needless to say, any university, college, has got to have alumni support to make the institution do what it's capable of doing, correct?
Correct, absolutely.
And how do you go about doing all that?
You bet. So, you know, what I always like to say is philanthropy, particularly in support from our alumni, it helps to provide that margin of excellence for an institution. You know, could the institution survive without that philanthropic support? Probably. But it would be a shell of what it really can be in terms of fulfilling its full potential. And so, as I said, I view philanthropy and the support that we receive from the alumni, but also our local supporters as well, as that margin of excellence that really allows us to strive for greatness and to do things that we would be unable to do without that philanthropic support. You know, and how do you go about that? You know, this is an oversimplified explanation of it, but it's really about engaging people and where their interest lies. And so, you know, you don't just simply walk in the door and ask someone for financial support. It's about developing a relationship and making them feel as if they are a part of the institution. The nice thing, and one of the things that I really love about working in higher ed versus some of my colleagues that maybe work in other nonprofit or philanthropic sectors, is that when you think about alumni, many of them have a built-in affinity for the institution already. They think back, you know, you think back about the 4 years or maybe sometimes 4+ years you spent away at college. That was a really meaningful and transformational time in many people's lives. And many people look back at that as a time with great fondness in terms of the relationships and the friendships that they made. And so that's one of the great things with our alumni, is they have that built-in affinity already. They have that pre-existing connection and relationship with the institution. And it's about us as fundraisers and as representatives of the institution of tapping into that affinity as to what really kind of moves the needle and what really tugs at the heartstrings of those individuals.
So for somebody like you, who's brand new to the community, you're starting pretty much with a blank sheet of paper. You got to go out and say, hi, I'm here. I'm representing Winthrop University. Can we have a conversation? Can we have a cup of coffee? Can we start to build a relationship?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, for anybody, whether they're in my role in a leadership capacity or whether they are, you know, we hire what are called development officers. Development officers are essentially our frontline fundraisers that are out there in the community and who are out there regionally and even nationally speaking with our alumni. Really what we like to say is you spend a lot of your first year just getting to know people, because it is. It's about developing relationships. And as I just referenced earlier, we're not walking in with our hands out immediately. It's about developing that relationship. If you think about making a philanthropic gift yourself to an organization that you might support, you want to get to know these people. You want to be able to trust that you're investing your dollars wisely with individuals that you trust and that you respect. And so it is really important for someone in my role, for example, in these initial months and even the first year or so, you're really out just developing relationships with people and getting to know people. So I've been at Winthrop now for 4 months. I'm still in that exploratory stage where I'm just still getting to know people, getting to know the people that sit on our various boards at the institution, getting to know people that have been our supportive donors over the years. And it's a continual process. So even if I were here at Winthrop for 10, 15, 20 years, there are always new people to get to know and develop relationships with. So it's an ongoing process.
And as we were talking about before the show started, this is a high growth area. I mean, the population numbers are just staggering about how many more people are coming here from all different parts of the country. So it's a constant process for you and your team to be out there talking about Winthrop. So let's assume that I'm a brand new person, just walked into Rock Hill, South Carolina 30 days ago. I don't even know where Main Street is, let alone anything about Winthrop University. How are you going to engage me? What are you going to tell me about Winthrop that I should know that'll make me, I don't know, my ears will go up and say, that's kind of neat?
You bet. So, you know, again, I think it's individualized to that particular person. So one of the things that I would want to do is get to know a little bit about you and who you are as a person. And that then helps me identify as to what I think some of the potential connections to Winthrop might be. I'll give you sort of that broad overview of what we're doing at the university and how we believe that impacts the local community. But really, when I'm having that conversation with you, that individual, I'm going to try to dive in and figure out what's going to potentially be of most interest to this individual. So is this person maybe an executive of a business? Are they coming here for work reasons? Then we can talk about some of the workforce development things that we have going on at Winthrop and how some of the students that we're educating might be potential talent pipelines for the business that you might be working in. Maybe you have an interest in the arts. I'm going to talk a little bit about our performing arts program, our fine arts program that we have at Winthrop, and how that has an impact on the community from a cultural and arts perspective. You know, so it really depends upon the individual. Maybe you're education focused, as you know, Manning, I'm sure, and many of our listeners probably understand. You know, Winthrop has this rich tradition and history of training teachers, and we have this strong college of education. You know, maybe someone has come to the area and they're interested in about education. We'll talk about the College of Education. So it's about tapping into that area that we think is going to most resonate with that individual. We can give that broad, you know, whether it's a 30-second or a two-minute elevator speech, if you will. But really, again, it's about getting to know the individual and understanding what's best going to resonate with them.
I think the other part of the story that is particularly interesting to me is the transformation that you're going through at Winthrop right now. You got this new guy over there by the name of Edward Cerna, who happens to be a Winthrop alumni, which I think is kind of cool. He's come back to campus. I've had an opportunity to talk to him a couple of times on the program. And it appears that Winthrop really is going through a wholesale transformation about who we are, what we are, what do we need to be doing, because it's a business. You've got to have, you know, a certain number of students in there doing, and you've got to have the programs that attract those students. Fair?
Absolutely. Definitely a very fair, I think that's a fair description. You know, I think one of the things that Winthrop maybe has struggled with is sort of what is our identity, and I just referenced it just a minute ago in my last answer. You know, once upon a time, Winthrop was simply known as the Teachers College. We were education-focused, and that was our primary mission, is we train teachers. You know, we obviously still do that, and we do a great job of it, but that's not the sole identity and sole focus of the institution. But I think we have struggled a bit, to be quite candid, over the course of the past decade, as we have had some leadership transitions. And so, you know, one of the things that President Cerna, for example, is looking at right now is how do we diversify our academic offerings to be attractive to the high school students of today? And so when you're a high school student and you're thinking about what is it that I would like to study when I go to college or go to a university, you know, we need to have those programs that are attractive to students, that are preparing students for the jobs of the next century. You know, one of the interesting things that I think is very different from even when I went to school back in the 90s is that students today are going to come to a place like Winthrop. They're going to be trained, and they're going to then go out into the world. You know, there's so much job change that occurs these days. People don't go into a position and stay 40 years at the same company.
No.
Students today are training for positions that they're going to change jobs, they're going to change industries, they're going to change professions multiple times throughout their career on many occasions. You know, of course, we still train people that go become educators, and they work as an educator for most of their career. We train people that eventually are going to become doctors or lawyers. But there's so many jobs out there these days that we can't even contemplate with some regards. And so part of what we are looking at with our academic programs is how are we a little bit more cutting edge, and how do we evolve our academic offerings to be attractive to those potential high school students, those potential students to come to Winthrop?
You know, my dad told me a long, long, long time ago. He said, you know, a college education is designed for one thing. And I said, what is that, Dad? To teach you to stand on your own two feet and think for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that makes a lot of sense, what he said, in relationship to what you just pointed out. People come in there, they get a skill set thinking they're going to do X, and then they go out there into the real world and they realize, well, maybe X isn't exactly what I want to do. Maybe I want to do A. And so you've got to figure out how to do the A, even though you're trained to do the X.
Correct. Yeah, and I think that's one of the interesting things about an institution like Winthrop. You know, we are not, we are a comprehensive institution. We are not what I would define as a traditional liberal arts institution, for example. But there are a lot of, much of when you look at Winthrop, we are in some aspects sort of rooted in the liberal arts. And I think that's part of what that liberal arts education does for a lot of individuals, is that it helps you to think critically and teaches you how to think, not what to think, but how to think. And it gives you those, and it equips you with those skill sets that I think are going to be attractive to one throughout the course of their career. You know, we were chatting a little bit before going on the air about my own professional journey and how about 16 years ago, I personally pivoted in my career. I do something very different right now from what I did the first decade of my career after leaving college. And it's thinking back to the skills that I learned in college in terms of how to think and how to adapt that gave me the tool set to be able to move into this different direction in my own personal career. And so that's what we're trying to do as an institution as well, is to equip our students so that they're able to thrive in the world and to be able to anticipate professions that, again, like I said, might not even exist today. I mean, when you look at some of the jobs that are out there, like, for example, you know, there's a lot of talk in the media now about artificial intelligence.
Oh, my God.
You know, so somebody that went to school 10, 15, 20 years ago, you would not have studied artificial intelligence per se. But now there are schools that are starting to develop programs. We just recently received a grant, along with several other institutions here in the state of South Carolina, to start studying artificial intelligence. You know, so that's an example of something that I think 10, 15, 20 years ago, yes, we knew that concept, that term artificial intelligence. I don't know that there was a lot of work being done in academia or higher ed in terms of really focusing our studies on that. But now that's something that's moving into the future. And so there's countless other examples like that. And so that's an example of how we as an institution need to think about how we constantly evolve our academic offerings to be attractive to the marketplace.
So that process of trying to figure out what we're going to do to attract the students, it's one thing to sit there, well, I think they might like this or I think they might like that. You must have some outside help working with you in terms of trying to figure out what is the best model for Winthrop University?
We do. So actually, I think, you know, it's a multi-pronged approach. So, you know, something that Winthrop does, as well as all institutions like us do, is we oftentimes survey those students that we admitted but who ultimately chose to go elsewhere. And we say to them, you know, why did you not choose Winthrop? And in some cases, it's because we didn't have the programs that they want to study. You know, for example, if you're a high school senior and you know that you want to become an engineer, Winthrop's probably not the right institution for you. We don't have an engineering program.
Right.
So we know that we're going to lose some students because of that. And so through those types of surveys, we sometimes identify what are the programs that might make us more attractive to some students. But to your point, Manning, we are actually working with an outside consultant right now. And what they are doing in terms of working with Winthrop is they are looking at the regional markets from which we draw the vast majority of our students, And they are working with us to identify what are the programs of interest to students that reside in those particular areas. And they can really work with us to determine with a great deal of accuracy not only what programs are going to resonate with students that live in that particular area, but also what we could expect if we were to implement some of those programs in terms of what would the size of those programs be. So how many students could we reasonably expect? And that helps us because then we're able to weigh that versus the cost that would cost us to actually, you know, create a program like that. So that allows us to make some more strategic decisions about the programs and do a little bit of a cost-benefit analysis to think about what would this program do for us in terms of number of students, but also what does that look like from a budget perspective as well in terms of revenue that we could expect to receive, but also what are the costs going to be for us to not only establish, but also to be able to maintain that program over the long term.
Just to show you how the world is changing, I did a program here last week with Chuck Ray and your coach of the esports team.
Yes.
I'm sitting here, esports? Really? And I had no idea how attractive that is to a large segment of younger people that you're trying to attract, and it's been very successful for Winthrop to the point that you're now taking additional space over there at the Lowenstein building.
Correct.
To just do esports. That's amazing.
I think that is probably the biggest hidden secret of Winthrop University right now is our esports program. We are the crown jewel. I mean, we are a legit top four collegiate team in this area. It's like when you think about things like, Duke and UNC Chapel Hill basketball. You know, these are the blue bloods of college basketball, for example. That's what Winthrop is in the esports genre. And I realize that a lot of folks don't really maybe understand or fully understand esports. I'm one of them. I sometimes watch the online feeds of our teams competing, and I'll be honest, I have little to no idea of what I'm even looking at, but it's phenomenal. And, you know, you mentioned Chuck Ray, our athletic director. Chuck has shared with me some of the statistics in terms of when you look globally, the amount of money that is being invested in esports, it trumps even the investments that you see in things like the NFL. You look at viewership for some of these global championships with esports, it trumps the viewership that you see for the Super Bowl on an annual basis. I mean, the numbers are really phenomenal. And like again, as I said, I think it's this interesting hidden secret that folks don't realize that in amongst the collegiate ranks, Winthrop is the crown jewel. We are one of the teams and one of the programs that people point to nationally that are sort of in the know within the esports world that Winthrop is a destination location. And so I think it is a competitive advantage for us, and we're a little bit ahead of the curve as it relates to this. And so we're really hoping with that investment that we're making over in the Lowenstein building, which you just referenced, we're hoping that that's going to help continue the momentum that we have on the esports area and be able to attract more students to Winthrop. And you know, you think about it, when you think about it, whether it be a basketball or a football program, those blue blood programs, high school students want to go there because they want to be able to play for those coaches and they want to play with those amazing star athletes. And likewise, in the esports world, there are a lot of high school kids that want to come to a place like Winthrop because they know who these esports athletes are.
Well, these kids are born with a phone in their crib, and that's what they know.
That's right.
That's all they know, and we can argue that one way or the other. But in terms of making it attractive to Winthrop, I think you've hit something with this esports. I don't understand it, but I can see the response.
But there's also, what's interesting is there's also tie-ins on the academic side as well. So yeah. I talked about this process that we're working with our consultant to identify new academic offerings. So video game design is one of those academic offerings that we're looking at, and it makes a heck of a lot of sense. So you think about students that are interested in esports, this is a natural segue for them to think about. And this is, again, you're talking about a huge, not even burgeoning industry, but it's an industry that obviously has been around for a while, but there are more and more students that are interested in this in terms of software design, video game design. There's just a lot of opportunities, and it's a natural partnership.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break, remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. And a thanks to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. You can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, he may be brand new to Rock Hill, but we gave him an education just before the show started. We're going to see whether he gets a pass or fail grade. We do wonderful things here at Substation 2. Fresh subs, salads, 6 days a week between 10 a.m. and 9 p.m. There is a way we do them like nobody else does it, and it's right there in the white letters, and we're going to tell everybody about it together at the count of three. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Garden.
Back after these words.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board. It's on your phone.
This is Charlie Ruffalo.
Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Why do you take investment advice from a mutual fund or insurance salesman when you can work directly with a genuine money manager? If you have $100,000 or more, call the professionals at Anderson Griggs Investments and see the difference for yourself. 324-5044 or go online to AndersonGriggs.com.
Now open. The new Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, featuring personalized and comprehensive obstetrical services, 24/7 emergency care, and skilled surgeons who know the importance of getting to know you and your family. Piedmont Medical Center, Fort Mill, providing care for the Fort Mill community by your local community. Care that feels like home, close to home. Learn more at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com/Fort Mill.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is more about property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Finally, there's a rising rate you can get excited about. For a limited time, only 15-month certificates and IRAs at Founders Federal Credit Union have reached super levels. A $500 deposit is all it takes to make these rising rates work for you. Hurry on over to foundersfcu.com/superrates today to see just how super these rates are. Terms, conditions, and restrictions apply. Membership qualification required. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's new at Substation 2 is not on the menu board. It's on your phone. Go to the App Store, download our new app, order the best sub anywhere online, and it'll be ready when you arrive. And don't forget the free stuff you get with our new rewards program. Substation 2, Cherry Road, across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Kevin Hughes is with us. He is Winthrop's brand spanking new vice president for university advancement. His job is to take the story to the masses, let them know what's going on in Winthrop, and hopefully get support from people so that, as he pointed out in the beginning of the program, we can get that margin of excellence that would come from people getting involved financially with the school. Is that about right?
I think that sums it up pretty well.
All right, so you don't do this all by yourself.
Of course not.
Tell me about your group, your team that helps you with all this.
Definitely. So, you know, I mentioned earlier, you know, when you break it down in its simplest terms, it's my job is twofold. It's overseeing the fundraising for the institution, but also our alumni relations. And so my colleague, Lori Tuttle, she's been with us at Winthrop University as our director of alumni relations for a number of years. I believe about 7 or 8 years that Lori has been with us. And she brings a great depth of experience. She previously had worked at the Citadel in a similar role, both in the alumni relations as well as annual giving side. So Lori has a nice combination of both annual fund, fundraising experience, but also alumni relations. And so she has really done an admirable job of leading our team there for a number of years. As well as her colleague, Brittany Neely. On the fundraising side, we've really had a little bit of rebuilding to do. There's been, unfortunately, a little bit of turnover, but I know a name that many of your viewers probably will be familiar with is Dr. Debbie Garrick. Debbie works as one of our senior development officers, which is essentially a frontline fundraiser. And ironically, she previously served as our director of alumni relations, so she was actually Lori Tuttle's predecessor in that particular role. But Debbie now has been working with us as a fundraiser for about 5 years. Also, my colleague Josh Bolden. Josh is a Fort Mill native, and he's also one of our development officers that's out there every day talking with donors about supporting the institution. And then we've got a lot of other folks that really help us in the area of stewardship. Amanda Stewart, who's a Winthrop alum, and she's been working with us for a number of years. Katie Langer is another one. She's an alum of the institution. She's been working on what we refer to as advancement services. So there's a lot of work that goes on behind the scenes that you don't see, but that it makes the engine run. And as someone was just saying to me earlier today, data is king. And so Katie, in her particular role in advancement services, she helps make sure that all of our data is as clean as possible. And so that's a little bit of a snapshot of our team. We also work very closely. We have our affiliated Winthrop University Foundation. My colleague Robin Emery has been the executive director of the foundation for close to a decade now. So we work very, very closely with Robin and her team. They are essentially the fiduciaries. They manage the funds that we raise on behalf of the university and also oversee the investment of the endowment at Winthrop.
And it's always been interesting to me, as old as Winthrop is, what is it, 130 years or 135, something like that?
Yep.
It wasn't until recently, when I say maybe the last, 15, 20 years, that we even had a foundation. So it's up and running and it's working, and obviously the work is to grow it. Because from that, you can generate dollars to do all these other things you're trying to do.
Yes.
So, athletics. We talked about esports, traditional athletics. I always remember Tony DiGiorgio, the former president of Winthrop, saying sports is the window, or athletics is the window through which the world looks at you. I wonder how true that is in today's world, but I do know that it's still very significant.
Oh, well, definitely. So a quick anecdotal story to illustrate your exact point. So I may have mentioned earlier, I just moved here to Rock Hill from St. Petersburg, Florida. And upon accepting the position with Winthrop, as both my wife and I started sharing the news with some of our friends, we got one of two reactions. Either, what's Winthrop and where is Winthrop? Or, oh, yeah, that's the basketball school. And so people in St. Petersburg, if they knew Winthrop, they knew it because of our past basketball success. And I shouldn't say just past, but, you know, our basketball success.
We beat Notre Dame in the tournament.
That's right.
Yeah, okay.
That's right. So I think that alone demonstrates that power of athletics in that window. And quite frankly, I'll count myself as one of them. You know, I've been working in higher ed for 16 years now. I was aware of Winthrop previously, but I would be lying if I didn't say that most of my knowledge about Winthrop prior to becoming interested in this particular position was because of the fact that I consider myself a college basketball junkie, and I was very aware of Winthrop basketball through the success that had been had during the Greg Marshall years originally. And so I think that that is a very apt description, because I think that that is something that, you know, folks in the local community who might not otherwise have a connection to Winthrop, that is an opportunity for them to connect and engage with us in a very meaningful way. And it goes back to what I talked about earlier in terms of the interests of individuals. So, you know, I failed to mention earlier, somebody that might be interested in athletics, whether it is the basketball program or maybe they were a soccer athlete themselves, and they might have an interest in coming out and watching the soccer team play or the volleyball team or any sport, you name it. If they have that background and that interest, you know, for example, I just recently bought a house here in Rock Hill. I met one of my neighbors just recently and mentioned that they come to basketball games. They have no other connection to Winthrop other than the fact that this person likes basketball and they like coming to our basketball games. And so it really is a window into the university, I think, for many individuals who otherwise would not have a natural connection.
Best ticket in town, no question about it. And being a member of the Eagle Club, you get your money back tenfold.
We like to
think
so.
Tenfold. Well, Kevin, thank you so much for being with us today. Good luck to you. And I know you're going to get on a plane. Go down and get your family and get them up here to your new house. Good for you.
Thank you.
All right. And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program, live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right. One more time. You did such a stellar job. We're going to bring the masses in now to help you out with this. Fresh subs and salads. We do it 6 days a week at Substation 2. There is a way that we do this, and the good old doctor has arrived in time to lead us in this course. At the count of three, let's tell the world how it's done. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
All right, have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.